Just to encourage you to come this evening. We had the privilege of listening and hearing Graham last night, yesterday. Gareth yesterday. And I really was blessed by his message, and he's really very funny. You will enjoy listening to him. I know you may not normally come out on a Sunday night, but really encourage you to come and join us this evening. We've invited the other churches in King William's Sound to come along as well, and hopefully we'll have some of them to come and join us this evening as well. During this last week, we've had an interesting week at school. We had, on one day, we had three fights at our school. It's not a big school. There's only 100 kids here, just over 100 kids. But we had three fights. In fact, one of the fights, we had to send the children home because of that. The next day, we had the wonderful situation of four of the children setting one of the classes on fire. Fortunately, Eddie was around and he was able to put it out fairly quickly. Eddie, our hero over there. Well done, Eddie. I wasn't even here. But you know, I was just chatting with Wayne and with Megan, and they were just saying, it seems to be in the same at KHS where they are. And I was wondering, what's happening? What's happening in our community? Well, on Friday afternoon, I was standing at the entrance of the church there, and if you're not aware, the feast or the celebration of the Islamic tradition of Ramadan started this week. And it suddenly clicked to me that, friends, we're in a spiritual battle. Ramadan is the time when the gods of Islam are excited to do their worst or their best in the world in which we're living in. And I was reminded, friends, why this subject of the kingdom of God is so important for us. Friends, we are living in a spiritual battle. We must never lose sight of that. We must never lose sight of the reality that, friends, the kingdom of this world, which is headed up by Satan, is seeking every possible way to destroy and mislead people about the kingdom of God. And friends, we as the people of the kingdom need to make sure that the message of the kingdom is heard in the world around us. So I've chosen as my theme, Your Kingdom Come. Your Kingdom Come. And this morning I want to ask this question, why is this so important to us? Why is it so important to us? Friends, it's important to us because the reality, as you will see, is how important it was to Jesus. So, let's begin. The kingdom of God should be our priority. Reason number one, the kingdom of God should be our priority because Jesus came to earth to establish again the kingdom of God. As the angel appears to Mary, to reveal to Mary the very fact that she is going to carry within her body a baby who would be born, the angel says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 29 to 33. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Greg prayed that at our communion service. I don't know if you heard that part of the prayer. His kingdom will never end. Friends, with the coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God was being re-established as being the kingdom of this earth as well. For a long time, since the fall of man, Satan roamed the surface of this earth, and he had authority. He had the power to do almost what he liked. In fact, at one point in time, he almost brought this earth to the point of destruction by the fact that one righteous man called Noah still existed on this earth. And the Lord wiped out the earth again and restarted the thing with Noah, hoping that the kingdom of God would be established. But even Noah, friends, falls into sin soon after the Ark of the Covenant lands back on earth again. And for all of history, friends, the kingdom of Satan has sought to destroy the kingdom of God. But friends, Jesus has come. He has come. The Jews were waiting for a kingdom. You see, right throughout the Old Testament, God had prophesied that a kingdom would come. One would come in the form of their great King David. One would come to take his place and would be the representative. One like David would come. They were looking for a political liberator. They were looking for somebody to establish an earthly kingdom on earth. But no, friends, when Jesus' birth is announced, we are reminded that the kingdom is not about this world. The kingdom of God, friends, is much bigger than this world could ever be. Much bigger than the church could ever be. Friend, the kingdom of God is the place where God comes to establish his rule. And Jesus has come with the express purpose, as revealed to Mary at the announcement of the Immaculate Conception, as revealed to her from that moment onwards, friends, the kingdom of God was breaking into this world again. Secondly, friends, of all of the things Jesus could speak about, of all of the messages Jesus could bring from the Father, the one that he came to bring most of all was to preach about the kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, in the beginning of Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up in the temple and he reads from Isaiah and he says, "This has now been fulfilled in your midst." I'm going to get to that passage later on in our series. Because encaptured in that Isaiah passage, friends, is the message of what the kingdom of God is all about. And Jesus, at the end of that chapter, when they're wanting to hold Jesus back to hear more about what he was talking about, Jesus says this: "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God." Friends, Jesus felt an unction. Jesus felt overwhelmed with a necessity to preach the kingdom of God. Now, you know, us preachers, we all have our little hobby horses. I can tell you that now. I think I've said this once before. If you want to know what a preacher is battling with in his own life. Listen to his sermons, because he most often preaches about he's battling about in his own life. There's a secret for preachers. I hope you don't catch me out in that. But you see, for Jesus, his hobby horse, the thing that captured his heart, the thing that he was passionate about, the thing he preached about at every opportunity, was the kingdom of God. Last week I mentioned that the phrase "the kingdom of God" appears, I said 51, it's actually 54 times in the Gospels. 54 times! You know, when you're studying the Scriptures, when you're trying to find out what's important in a passage of Scripture, one of the things my teachers taught me is find out what things are repeated in that particular passage. So when the message is repeated 54 times, friends, then we know it's important. Jesus, occasion after occasion after occasion, uses the little phrase, "the kingdom of God is like," and then often tells a little parable, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the lost son, the parable of the lost coin, all those sort of things, the parable of the great treasure in the field. Right throughout Jesus' teaching, he always prefaces his teaching with "the kingdom of God is like." So if it's important to Jesus, shouldn't it be important to us? If Jesus spent all of his time preaching the kingdom of God, surely it should be priority for us as well. We should want to know what the kingdom of God is all about. We should be eager to discover how we can bring it on in this earth. Friends, for Jesus, it was the central theme of his preaching wherever he went. Number three, Jesus came to earth to prioritize the kingdom of God. And that passage carries on and says, he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also." And then he says, "because that is why I was sent." Jesus knew, friends, what his purpose in life was. I hear a lot on television and a lot from motivational speakers and a lot from people who want us to kind of help us get our acts together. Find out what your purpose in life is. Develop your own mission statement. Find the center of your being, sometimes it's called. Friends, the purpose of Jesus, the center of his being, his mission statement was the kingdom of God. He says it right at the start of his ministry. "That is why I was sent." Of course, there are many other things Jesus did. Of course, all of those other things are important. He was sent to bring us salvation. But friends, the purpose of bringing us salvation is for us to be part of the kingdom of God. The purpose of teaching us and revealing to us the purposes of God is to make us aware of the King of the kingdom of God. Everything Jesus did pointed people to the King of the kingdom. If it's important to Jesus and it's his priority, surely it should be ours across the page. The kingdom of God should be our priority. Number four, because Jesus came to equip us about the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 8, after telling the parable of the sower, Jesus says this to his disciples. When they come to Jesus, they say to Jesus, "What's this all about?" Then Jesus says this, he says this to them, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. You see, friends, that's why this should be important to us. We have been given, as the believers of God, of those who have been called by Jesus Christ, we have been given the keys to the secret of the kingdom of God. And if we're holding them to ourselves, if we're saying, oh, we've got a great message, we'll just keep it to ourselves. You can't have any of this. It belongs to me. I know something you don't know. Friends, we are missing the point. Friends, Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom, the knowledge of the secrets of the things of God, not so that we can think of ourselves as being better than others, but that we may reveal to others, we may share with others the secrets of the kingdom of God. Number five, not only did he come to reveal, equip us, but he came to empower us about the kingdom of God. The next chapter, chapter 9 in Luke, Jesus sends out the disciples to go preaching. And this is what he says to them. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Friends, you don't have the Holy Spirit to give you a lack of feeling. You don't have the Holy Spirit just for your own special enjoyment. The Holy Spirit isn't there for us just to come to church and kind of celebrate with other believers. Jesus empowers the disciples. He gives them the power of the Spirit as they go out into the world so that they may do these different things that he speaks about here. We'll talk about them at a later stage as well. But one of those is to preach the kingdom of God. When last did you talk to somebody about the kingdom of God? When last did you think about it? Friends, we need to be preaching the kingdom of God. Number six, Jesus came to earth to call us to prioritize the kingdom of God. There's this incredible little story. It was made more real for me even this last week and the week before as I officiated a funeral last Saturday, and there'll be another one tomorrow. This is what Jesus says. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I want to follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said to them, I tell you, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Now, friends, it's not that Jesus was heartless. It's not that Jesus didn't care about those who died and the grief that we feel. But friends, in terms of what is priority for us, Jesus is trying to say, this is your priority in life. If you're wavering, you can't be my follower. You know, Jesus didn't want people who followed him cheaply. Man, if you're not sold out for Jesus, then move on. Go to another organization. If you're not passionate about serving Jesus, whichever way you possibly can, move on to somewhere else. There are lots of wonderful service organizations, the Lions and the Rotarians and many other ones that are doing fantastic work. But friends, as the Church of God, we do it in the name of Jesus. That's who we want to lift up in whatever we do. And let's make sure that we are sold out for Christ. One of the startling statistics we heard yesterday, Patricia actually put it onto the church's Facebook page. Do you know that there are 57,000 people who die every day who have never heard even the name of Jesus? Can I repeat that, friends? 57,000 people die every day without ever hearing the name of Jesus. 57,000! Do you know how many that is? That's probably the whole of the population of King Williamstown and Zwelitsha together. Throw in Ginsburg as well. 57,000. What we're doing as a church, friends, what we're doing as the people of God, is the kingdom of God priority to us? Friends, for Jesus it was. He calls us to make it a priority. He's not looking for wishy-washy Christians. He's looking for people who make it a priority, who are willing to put Jesus first, regardless of the circumstances of life, whatever may face them, who want to raise the name of Jesus at every opportunity. And lastly, Jesus came to call us to pray the coming of the kingdom of God. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus rightfully puts the worship of God as number one. As he teaches his disciples to pray, he says this, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's important. Number one, friends, the worship of God. But how do we do that? We do it by praying, His kingdom come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Friends, you know, it's often said that the real health and strength of a church is determined by its prayer meeting. If that's the case, we're failing here at Bethany. We have a prayer meeting every Tuesday evening. I know it's not convenient for everybody. Friends, are you praying the kingdom of God? You know, we seldom have more than 8 or 10 people who come to our prayer meeting. It's not long, half an hour, where we focus our attention on one of the priorities is praying for revival, amongst other things. Yes, we pray on other occasions. We pray when we get together as Bible study groups. We pray as elders on a Friday morning for you as a congregation. We pray Yarra Church. But friends, we've got a designated time, once a week, 5:45 on a Tuesday evening, for half an hour, for us to pray. How are we doing? How's your prayer life? Are you praying the kingdom of God? Is it important to you? It was to Jesus. I trust it will become for you as well a priority. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to make you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Begin with us. We may again, Lord, need to put you on the throne of our hearts once again. I pray that you'll help us to ensure that you are on the throne of our hearts, that you are the King of our lives. For we know when you're the King of our lives, all the other things will sort themselves out. They won't be necessarily any easier, Lord. But Lord, the priority will be right. Help us to make you the King of King Williamstown. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.